Hello, this is Pastor Jeff Riddle from Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is an audio version of a written book review. The book under review is by Grantley MacDonald. The title of the book is Biblical Criticism in Early Modern Europe, subtitled Erasmus, the Johannine Coma, and Trinitarian Debate. The book was published by Cambridge University Press in 2016, and it is 384 pages in length. The written book review appeared in the Puritan Reformed Journal, Volume 12, Number 2, in July of 2020, and the review can be found on pages 238 through 241. Here now is the review. This book is a revision of the author's 2011 doctoral dissertation completed at the University of Leuven under the direction of Dr. Hank de Jong. It is an extensive study of the reception history of one of the most disputed texts in the New Testament, the Three Heavenly Witnesses passage, or Johannine Coma, in 1 John 5, 7, and 8. MacDonald suggests that the coma, whose authenticity has been soundly rejected by modern textual criticism, nevertheless has remained an unquiet corpse, whose transmission history serves as a keyhole that allows us to peer straight into the heart of the violent struggles over the understanding of the Trinity that took place from the 16th to the 19th centuries. This study begins by tracing the eventual inclusion of the coma following controversy and criticism in the printed editions of Erasmus's Greek New Testament, beginning with the third edition of 1522. See chapter 1, found on pages 13 to 55 of the book. Particularly helpful is the author's careful review and analysis of the origins of Codex Montfortianus, or Codex 61, and its influence on Erasmus's deliberations regarding the coma, in which MacDonald challenges a common scholarly assumption that this manuscript was produced by Frater Froy. MacDonald notes, however, that its origins are at best unclear. Next, the author traces how Erasmus's inclusion of the coma in 1522 influenced later printed editions of the Greek New Testament and vernacular translations made from them, including those in English from Tyndale to the King James Version, which incorporated the disputed passage. See chapter 2 in the book, found on pages 56 to 70. The widespread acceptance of the coma in the text of the Bible under the influence of Erasmus's pivotal editorial decision then became a flashpoint of philological dispute regarding the text of Scripture and theological controversy regarding the doctrine of the Trinity from the 16th century onward. See chapter 3, pages 71 to 116. MacDonald traces the development of anti-Trinitarian sentiments as early as Miguel Servet and the Polish Socinians. This was, as he puts it, raising the ghost of Arius. It led various Christian communions to double down in their affirmations of the coma, from Lutherans, some of whom, including Luther, were initially skeptical about the authenticity of the coma, and other Protestants, to Roman Catholics in their affirmation of the Vulgate at Trent, and even the Eastern Orthodox. MacDonald next turns to the coma's reception in England from the Civil War to the Enlightenment, a survey which encompasses the bulk of the book's content, chapter 4, pages 117 to 278. Here the author points out how the authenticity of the coma was alternately attacked by anti-Trinitarian and rationalistic thinkers consisting of luminaries such as John Milton, Isaac Newton, and Edward Gibbon, and defended by the Orthodox and traditionalists such as John Bunyan, Jonathan Swift, and John Wesley. This chapter is brimming with information and anecdotes related to this controversy. Among the intriguing points is MacDonald's suggestion that the first fully developed narration of the myth of Erasmus's promise to Edward Lee to include the coma, contingent on his being shown a Greek manuscript containing it, supposedly satisfied by Codex 61, the so-called rash wager anecdote, was made in 1722 by David Martin, drawing on Richard Simon. See pages 236 to 237. Finally, this study examines the reception of the coma in what the author calls the long 19th century. This is chapter 5, pages 279 to 311. MacDonald begins by describing how the legend of Erasmus's showdown with Edward Lee took on a life of its own, sprouted apocryphal details, and continued to be used by skeptic and traditionalist alike. In later debates, it became a wax nose to depict Erasmus the conservative, Erasmus the radical, Erasmus the honest scholar, Erasmus the coward, Erasmus the good Catholic, or Erasmus the proto-Socinian. He notes the development of Unitarianism in England and the critical advances of Lachmann and Tischendorf, which challenged the coma's authenticity, as well as a renewed defense of it by men like Frederick Nolan. A watershed challenge to the coma came with the Greek text of Westcott and Hort and the Revised Version translation, but the coma was retained by F.H.A. Scribner in his revised edition of the Greek New Testament, published in 1894, which became the preferred text of the Trinitarian Bible Society. Not to limit the discussion merely to the Protestants, MacDonald also notes how the coma became a point of dispute in the Catholic modernist controversy, finally ending with the Nova Vulgata of 1979, which excluded the coma. MacDonald observes, Erasmus's initial judgment on the Johannine coma was finally vindicated. That's page 311. The author concludes his work by reflecting on the significance of over 500 years of conflict regarding the Johannine coma on pages 312 to 314. He notes, quote, one of the most surprising things about the Johannine coma is its resilience, end quote, page 313. He further suggests that in previous generations, the debate was driven by fear of the perceived threat of Socinians, Unitarians, Roman Catholics, or modernists. Today, he says, this anxiety has been replaced by the fear that Christianity is under attack from what he calls science and liberal humanism. He concludes, quote, the question of the coma is thus not merely a dusty chapter in the annals of biblical scholarship, but a microcosm of the cultural and religious conflicts in which we find ourselves right now, end quote, page 314. This work represents a significant contribution to the reception history of the Johannine coma from Erasmus to the present. Any future study of this controversial New Testament passage will need to consult, benefit from, and reference this work. This reviewer is especially appreciative of MacDonald's debunking of the Erasmian myths that have developed relating to his inclusion of the coma in the third edition of the Dutch scholar's Greek New Testament, as well as those relating to the history and influence of Codex Monfortianus. One of the most intriguing ideas put forward by MacDonald in this study is his analysis and application of Michel Foucault's concept of the episteme to understand the division that has resulted over the acceptance of the coma. An episteme is defined as, quote, an internally consistent mode of conceiving the world that determines which questions may conceivably be asked and thus judged to be either true or false, end quote, page 146. In what he calls the pre-modern episteme, critical thought was subordinated to a theological a priori. This meant, for example, quote, it was almost inconceivable to doubt the inspiration of Scripture, end quote, page 146. With the development of the historical critical method, beginning with Richard Simon and Baruch Spinoza, critical questions were disconnected from theological ones. Though MacDonald does not use this term, we might call it the modern episteme. Rather than one episteme neatly yielding sequentially to the next, as Foucault envisioned it, MacDonald suggests that, quote, the episteme that existed before Spinoza and Simon never ended. Rather, their work fractured the hermeneutical consensus, leading to a situation in which two epistemes came to exist in parallel, end quote, page 147. MacDonald describes these two parallel epistemes as follows, quote, one maintains an essentially pre-modern attitude towards Scripture. submitting judgment in textual matters to the ultimate criterion of doctrine, while the other has accepted, internalized, and built upon the insights of Spinoza and Simon, using the tools of philology, history, and sociology to illuminate the beginnings of Christianity. End quote, page 147. He concludes, quote, "I suggest that many of the conflicts between academic liberal critics and conservative apologists arise out of a basic epistemological incompatibility." End quote, page 147. It is this fundamental epistemological incompatibility that compels disagreement over the Johannine coma, as those who hold the pre-modern episteme continue to affirm it, while those who hold the modern episteme continue to reject it. According to MacDonald, then, the reception of the coma represents a proverbial fork in the road. As he puts it, quote, "One path was followed by those who insisted on the providential preservation of Scripture. The other was taken by those who believe that Scripture, whatever its source, is subject to the same process of transmission as any other text," end quote, page 12. The story that results is one of constantly competing claims, in which outcomes are rarely clear and motives are often obscure. MacDonald is hardly sympathetic to those who continue to uphold the coma against the modern scholarly consensus, held since the mid-20th century, that the Three Heavenly Witness passage is a spurious and late interpolation. He associates renewed debate over the coma to what he calls the revival of the Christian right, conspiracy theories, and internet discussions where it has become a so-called hot-button issue. MacDonald suggests, quote, "As a result of an informational cascade among non-scholarly believers, the divide between academic consensus and lay conviction is growing," end quote, page 9. What MacDonald does not explicitly seem to acknowledge is that he is hardly a neutral observer. He holds, in fact, to the modern episteme, which he so helpfully describes. Nevertheless, MacDonald is to be thanked not only for his historical review of the various clashes over the coma, but also for his insights on the epistemological divide over this matter. To paraphrase the poet Robert Frost, "When we come to the coma as a fork in the road, the path we take does indeed make all the difference." This ends the review. Jeffrey T. Riddle. To receive other reviews like this one, Word Magazine podcasts, and sermons, you can subscribe to Christ Reformed Baptist Church's sermonaudio.com feed on iTunes by searching for Christ Reformed Baptist Church. You can also subscribe to our Word Magazine channel for a video version of this review and for other video versions of books. And you can find that on youtube.com. You can also find book reviews and book notes on my blog, jeffriddle.net.